Well, I think everybody who lives in Alaska has been on a trip somewhere and had people ask you, it used to be, have you lived around polar bears? Do you live in an igloo? Then it was, do you know Sarah Palin? And now it's liable to be something about reality TV, because the United States of America seems to believe that Alaska is the weirdest place on Earth, and that these reality TV shows, which have cropped up everywhere, is what it's really like here. So on Hometown Alaska today, we're going to take on the topic of reality TV. And we're going to do it in a non-NPR way. We're not going to analyze it. We're not going to come up with any sociological lesson. We're not going to do a political outlook. We're just going to have fun with what is shown on reality TV. What's the weirdest, the silliest things? What are the coolest things? What are the things you really like? And to do this, I have two guests who I think are the sort of dream team panel to talk about this. In the studio with me is Emily Fehrenbacher, whose claim to fame, well, she has many claims to fame, but her claim to fame today is that she watches a lot of reality TV shows and writes a column about it in the newspaper. Thanks for being with us, Emily.
Thanks for having me, Charles.
And Tyler Johnson is an actual reality TV star. He was on Ultimate Survival Alaska. Sounds like he's survived that, and it was a pretty all-encompassing situation. And so Tyler's actually been on one of these shows and can tell us about it from the inside. Thanks for being with us, Tyler.
Yep, glad to be here.
And you sound a little bit like you are on the far side of the moon, so hopefully we can keep your...
Okay. Yep.
So Tyler, how did you get on this show? I mean, how did it come about? Did somebody just say, "Oh, this guy is a real, really interesting dude. We want to have him on the show"? Or how do you get on a show like this?
You know, it's when they came up for the season one, they interviewed 500 or 400, I don't know what the number is exactly, people, you know, from miners to dog mushers to mountain climbers, whatever. They just put out this big net looking for people that want to do an adventure race across Alaska. And they interviewed a friend of mine who gave them, you know, usually when they interview, they say, hey, do you have three friends that, you know, you can, you know, recommend? So I was one of the recommendations. It was a 7-minute interview in LA. I didn't think anything of it. And then I got a phone call, you know, August 2013. Hey, you want to be on TV? Sure. That was it.
And then 3 years later, it's like become a huge part of your life, and you're famous.
Yeah, you know, after doing that first season, I was like, well, that was a one hit deal, you know, I won't see them again. And now they call me again, they're like, yeah, you're great, yeah, be on TV again. I was like, oh, yeah, no. You know, it keeps rolling.
Wow,
so keep rolling.
Life can take weird 90-degree angles.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah, yeah. Well, I had no previous TV experience, so I was like, well. If it works, if it doesn't, I can go do something else.
So Emily, her claim to fame is that she watches TV and writes about it. And, you know, like everybody watches TV, but only few are called upon to write a column about it, right?
That's totally true. Yeah. It's kind of a silly, fun thing to do, though, to watch these shows and then have to think about it a little critically. And uh-huh. I think a lot of people in Alaska specifically don't watch these shows and don't even have TVs in a lot of cases. You know, people have kind of moved to the Netflix mm-hmm. model where you're not just watching whatever's on, which is, I think, when most people watch reality TV.
Right. It's like,
so I think a lot of people, you know about these shows, I think.
Yeah.
I like to enlighten them about
right,
what's happening.
Right, right. But I mean, you've got a wonderful sense of humor, and it's always silly and fun. And so your column is a go-to for me in the newspaper. Because just I know it's going to be entertaining, and you like observe these weird things. I mean, the whole thing is about observational, sort of like picking out odd things that mm-hmm. are happening and weird behavior, right?
Well, there's plenty of ammo on reality television, especially the Alaska reality TV shows to mm-hmm. choose from. So definitely, those are the things that I find enjoyable about it, and so I think they're, you know, the things that I like to write about the most.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Without for weirdness, I'm not sure there would be any reality TV. So that's our topic today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and Emily and Tyler are with me for the next hour to talk about this. But I'm really hoping that we get some good calls today, because everyone's an expert on what they've seen on TV, right? I mean, you don't have to have any special skills to share what you've seen about Alaska on TV that you thought was weird, wonderful, interesting, funny, worthwhile, that you hated, or the whole phenomenon, really anything you want to share. And maybe you have some questions for Tyler. Maybe he's your favorite TV star. So this would be your opportunity. So in any event, the phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. Statewide, if you're out of Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email, which is maybe you're at work and you don't want to call, but I'll read your message. It's hometown@alaskapublic.org. So, Emily, tell me about Ultimate Survival Alaska. Why is this one of your favorite reality shows?
So I think the thing that I like about that show is, you know, first, it has a pretty high production value. You can tell, you know, they use helicopters, like somebody is paying them to use helicopters. Mm-hmm. And so you just get to see a lot of Alaska, and it's a really beautiful show to watch. And I think the other thing I really like about it is that it's a competition show. So there's some inherent stakes in it, you know, as opposed to a show that's just kind of observing how people live and then they have to, you know, use narration to heighten drama. I'm not saying that they don't use narration to heighten drama in this show, because they absolutely do, and I frequently make fun of it. But I think I just think that the competition show makes it really interesting. And then I think the final thing is a lot of the people on this show specifically are really amazing people that have done a lot of really cool things. You know, Vern Tejas is a legend, and he is on this show. So,
they're legit.
They're legit. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and the premise is they're trying to get from point A to point B or something?
Mm-hmm. And there's four different teams. There's, this season it was the Alaskans, which Tyler was on, and I'm sure can fill you in a little bit more on that. A military team, the endurance team, which was led by Dallas Seavey, who, of course, ended up winning because Dallas wins everything that he does, apparently. And then a lower 48 team that kind of had the traditional reality TV drama of people getting in fights and, you know.
Oh, I got you.
That kept it interesting, you know, on that level.
So it seems like Dallas should be on the Alaskan team, unless I'm missing something.
I think they choose things pretty arbitrarily to try to make it kind of fair. So, yeah, he was the only Alaskan on that team.
So now, is it accurate to say that on reality TV, you can almost always buttonhole the people sort of to what sort of they're supposed to represent? Like the producers are thinking, oh, we need a person like this. We need a person like this. You know, is that true?
I think yes and no. I think a lot of the times that is absolutely true. And there are kind of these, you know, reality TV tropes of like, people saying, I'm not here to make friends, and those kind of things, that people kind of fall in line and you're the problem child and the dramatic one.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think, you know, some of the most interesting moments in TV are when people are actually, you know, complex humans and showing their humanity. And I think that part also comes out on reality TV, you know, just like in real life. And so I think it's, you know, the producers and editors not editing those pieces out that make it interesting. And I think, you know, give us some actual good moments from these shows.
So Tyler, in terms of being on the show, did you feel like they were looking for a certain personality type for you, or looking for you to behave in a certain way to fulfill some expectations, or were you just sort of like being yourself?
No, not at all. You know, that's the thing. You know, people, that's probably the biggest question I get now is, hey, is this real? Is it scripted? And, you know, I'm not a TV guy, so I don't know what scripted means. Is that like you got the, you know, I always think of like the Hollywood scene where you got the producer in the chair with the little French hat on, you know, and he's got the cut, you know, and he's yelling at people and reading, you know, they don't tell us what to say. They don't tell us what to do. I mean, they have outlines, you know, of like each episode, but other than that, they just say, hey, just be yourself and we'll film it. So it's like, all right, I can do that. And then, you know, the way they pick the cast, I'm not sure, you know, this season they brought in some big personalities, you know, if you watched it, you know, like Jim Sweeney and that whole drama and stuff like that, but they're just being who they are, you know. They didn't really have to make anything up. And, of course, Marty, you know, and it's not scripted, you know. They never once told me what to say, so that's all I can say. At least from my, you know, and I don't know what the other teams are doing, and I don't know what happens on their legs, but, you know, the funny thing is I don't see what goes on until I watch the show and see what they did. And, from my perspective, though, it's not scripted.
When you saw it on the show, did you feel like, yeah, that felt like what would really happen? Or did you feel like there was any license taken?
I did another interview where I talked about the TV magic, and I had no idea. I mean, they take 600 minutes of TV and they condense it down to one. That's their ratio for this. So they film nonstop every day. And like me as one character, I'll get maybe a minute 30 in footage, you know, on TV. So they condense a tremendous amount of footage down to very little. And somebody has to pick what goes on and what doesn't. And be honest with you, sometimes I'm a little surprised what they put on, because we did some really cool stuff that I think is cool, and they didn't, and it doesn't make it. So, you know, I'm more used to it now, but it was kind of like a little, you know, it was like made you sad a little bit. Like, what? We didn't, man. I call Marty up. I'd be like, man, do you believe what they show on TV? He's like, I know.
So. Well, and so they made some selections that sort of condense reality and sort of pull out the most dramatic or what they think is going to kind of. But does that make it seem weird when you watch it? Like, well, that's kind of doesn't really tell the whole story. Or do you realize sort of that they're telling you? You know, how does that reflect your reality? What happened?
It's a hard job. I mean, I can't imagine going through all that footage and picking out all the screw ups and, you know, the bad, you know, you got a bad camera or bad audio. I mean, that's typical. I mean, imagine, you know, just trying to film around the house. I mean, sometimes it doesn't look good. I mean, imagine out in the woods, you got a camera guy with a shoulder mounted, you know, it's on his shoulder. And, you know, we got audio blocks, and the whole thing has to work, you know, all the time, and it doesn't. I mean, we constantly have camera problems, and he's not picking up our audio, and we got to, you know, can you say that again, you know, and a lot of stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just hours and hours of that. I got to hand it to them. They do a pretty good job for you know, the difficulties that we have of filming this.
I always think those guys who do the filming.
I can't really be too critical of them, but at the same time, you know, I probably pick other scenes to put in there occasionally, but, yeah.
I just think it's amazing that those guys can, I mean, it seems like they should make a reality TV show about the guys who make the reality TV show. Because, I mean, as hard as it is to be out in the wilderness in Alaska, if you're hauling around a TV camera, it would be like that much harder.
Yeah. Season one, we were up in the Arrogance, you know, for an example, and we had two porters per camera guy, and they were carrying 80-pound packs.
Wow.
80-pound packs of batteries, you know, extra camera bodies, extra lenses. I mean, it was absolutely insane. I mean, everybody is sweating, and, you know, I mean, and these camera guys, they're new to Alaska. You know, they've shot a lot of reality TV, and they're pretty tough guys, but, man, they came out of there, you know, with a whole new respect for making reality TV. It was pretty cool to see, but, yeah, they work really hard, and it's dangerous for them because, you know, they're not looking where they're going. They're looking through their lens all the time, and, you know, the amazing part is nobody's gotten hurt. So
how many people are there filming you when you're doing your thing? I mean, like, how big is the crew?
Yeah, you know, it depends. Like, season one, we just had one, and they call him a shooter producer. That means he did the producing and the shooting, which is tough. I mean, you gotta make sure the storyline works, and you gotta film it. And they were extremely busy season one, and I think they learned that they can't do that to him because, I mean, not only are they pushing themselves to the physical limits, but you know, they gotta think straight too. And make sure their camera equipment works. You know, they're the tech. If something breaks, they got to fix it.
One guy. That's incredible.
Yeah, they just... Oh, you losing me?
No, I just say that's amazing. One guy could do that. That seems...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was... Yeah, and amazingly, most of those guys came back for season two. I was surprised. I thought they were all going to say, screw it, we're not doing that show again. they got most of the guys back for season two, and they added a shooter and a producer. So we had two people, and that worked out a lot better. So we had, you know, the cast, like Marty, myself, and Vern this season. And then we had a producer, a shooter, and then one safety or two safety, depending on what we're doing.
So I've got an email here for Emily, which has five questions. So
oh my gosh!
So maybe we'll deal these out slowly.
Only give me the good ones.
This first one is kind of fun. What advice do you have for friends who want to get together to watch a TV program or a reality TV show and make it an organized thing? Do you ever throw watching parties?
Oh, yeah. So I actually, me and my friends get together and watch TV together because it's just more entertaining
if
when you're with friends.
You watch it all by yourself, it's a little pathetic.
Exactly. Yeah. So we actually call it the reality TV book club. So then you can just say, I'm going to book club, and you don't have to explain.
Oh, there you go.
But I think,
there's a great tip. That was worth tuning in for right there.
Book club.
Uh-huh.
No one can judge you. Just if they ask what you're reading, you kind of have to dodge that question.
Right. But be careful who you ask to come, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
So is it like a binge thing where you'll like watch a bunch of them in a row? Or how do you do that?
So usually we watch, I mean, to be fair, we don't watch a lot of Alaska reality TV shows in this book club. Sometimes we wade into them, especially, you know, shows, some of the more ridiculous, controversial shows, like Alaskan Bush People, for example. We've watched that one at our reality TV book club, but generally we watch shows like The Bachelor.
I knew you were going to say that.
I think is a show that a lot of people choose to get together in groups and
Monday
nights, drink some wine.
Anchorage comes to a halt. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and it's people... I have everyone from like a professor at UAA that comes over to watch to, you know, like 23-year-old girls who could potentially be on the show. So I think it's just a ton of fun having conversations about it as it's happening.
Yeah, definitely. So how do you respond when people from outside ask if the Alaska reality TV shows are real?
Great question. And Tyler should also, you know, feel free to answer this one. But I think, you know, like, obviously, saying that Alaska TV or saying reality TV isn't real is pretty obvious. Yeah. You know, these are very contrived situations. There's cameras there that were there to pick it up. You know, I feel like we've kind of moved past that. And now we understand that when we're watching these shows, they are there is a storyline and they're trying to get you to feel a certain way as you're watching them. And so,
I mean, you have to assume that nobody really believes it, like, for real anymore, right? I mean, if they, some people, I suppose, pick up the Weekly World News and believe that Adolf Hitler is in Argentina, but for most people, they know it's just for fun.
I think we're, you know, as a society, we've come a lot more literate on how we, you know, perceive media. But I will say, just based on, you know, some of the comments and emails that I get, that there are absolutely people that do not understand that these shows are kind of hyped up and that there is somebody that is editing a show or, you know, creating these storylines to make you feel a certain way. So I think that there are some people that really do take things at face value, which I think could potentially be dangerous if they're watching these shows and seeing people, you know, just jump off cliffs into bodies of water that they don't know how deep they are or something, you know?
Right.
That is obviously not behavior you want to use in the backcountry, so.
Yeah,
Emily, you just brought something real important that I take, you know, personally, is that you know, doing something dangerous, showing that on TV and having somebody on go on out and trying that, you know, without the knowledge, and that's definitely something I try to look for. I don't want to do that, you know, because a lot of the biggest fans of our show Ultimate Survival are, you know, like those kids 9, 10, 11, 12, and they love the show. They sit around with their parents and everybody watches the show together. And I had one friend down in Washington that I went to school with up here in Alaska. And she said her boys go out and, like, try to reenact scenes that me and Marty and Vern were doing, you know, in the backyard after they watched the show. And I was like, oh, man, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, best fans ever. But, it's as far as portraying, like, accuracy, that's pretty key. We tried to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a way, I would think that it might bug you to know that there are so many silly shows out there and that what you're doing that's real is actually discounted because people think it's all BS, right?
I mean, yep. And, you know, we do all of our own stuff, you know, like climbing ice. I do that, you know, and I don't have any help from anybody, you know. They just say, hey, go climb that wall of ice. I'm like, okay, boom, go up and do it, just like I would with a group of friends, you know. And I don't, a lot of people look at that and go, oh, he's not doing that. Or, you know, he's got, you know, he's top roped or, you know, everybody tries to discredit it. Oh, not everybody, but yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, very unusual situation to be in, I have to say. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Woolforth. Tyler Johnson, one of the stars of Ultimate Survival Alaska, is with us on the phone. And Emily Fehrenbacher, ADN columnist who writes about reality TV in the newspaper, is with us in the studio. And we'd love to hear your thoughts. If you have questions for what it's like to be in a reality show, or if you have observations about what you think, how reality TV has affected Alaska, or maybe you just have some fun stuff to share, because we haven't really gotten into too much about the weird and wonderful stuff that shows up on TV. We'd really like to hear from you. The phone number here is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. So, Emily, you were talking about, like, this show that's really weird. What is some of the most bizarre and outlandish stuff that you've seen portrayed on reality TV?
So I think the weirdest show that's ever been on TV about Alaska was this show called Big Hair Alaska, and it was about Sarah Palin's hairdresser.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think it maybe only aired for 2 episodes, but...
It doesn't seem like enough to carry a show.
Right. Shockingly, it got canceled. But so I think that's, you know, kind of the funny classic example of that was during like the Sarah Palin mania where everybody wanted to know everything there was to know about Wasilla, Alaska. And I think one of the more recent shows that actually took place in Wasilla that, you know, people were really outraged about was Slednecks. If you have heard of that, it was a show on MTV, didn't get picked up for a second season, but... I think I called it a dumpster fire in my column because it was this, you know, MTV is kind of like the pioneers of the reality TV genre. And I personally like a lot of MTV's programs and think, you know, it's
one,
very entertaining.
One that just got canceled, right? That had been on for like 30 years.
Yeah, The Real World has not been picked up, which people who watch a lot of TV would, you know, feel feelings about that. Yeah. But I think, you know, Slednecks really angered people because it was the typical kind of MTV show, people doing these crazy stunts and drinking a lot.
Getting drunk and acting stupid.
Exactly. And so I think people were really upset about how it portrayed Alaska. And I actually interviewed one of the kids who was on this show and asked him what he thought. And he, his response was, yeah, people hate us. Like everywhere they went, people were upset. And, you know, his response on was this staged and fake was that you can't fake being drunk, which I thought was actually, you know, good for you, Trevor, from Slednecks.
It's quite a kind of a matter of selection, right? It's not like that we don't have, like, drunk, stupid kids doing crazy stuff on snow machines in Alaska. That is actual reality, right?
Yeah, it definitely
it's
is.
It's just a small section of reality that might not be the one we really want to highlight.
Yeah, and that show, of course, was targeted for 13-year-old boys, you know, that are sitting in the suburbs of Chicago, probably, not for a 30-year-old woman in Alaska. So, you know, you kind of have to navigate that. But there were pieces of it that were just ridiculous. Like, for example, you know, if you're filming a reality TV show in Southern California, you can get away with ignoring, you know, the time continuum. And you can say, go from something in November to something in the spring and pretend like it happened back-to-back days.
Right.
But you can't get away with that in Alaska. And so it would go from, you know, the middle of winter to all of a sudden being summer. And then, you know, when they were pretending it was the summer solstice, it got dark and they like, it was so confusing. And it was one of those things where you couldn't help but just kind of shake your head as an Alaskan watching this show and say, okay, we've really saturated the market if this is what's on TV right now.
Yeah. So it sounds like your show is maybe a little bit more true to life, Tyler, in that they didn't just take things from different time periods and slap them together.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a big word when we're on the field, continuity. Continuity. You know, we got, you know, the clothing has to, you know, because a lot of times, you know, they gold streak our footage out to L.A., and and there's a huge gap in the footage. Like, the camera didn't work or something, and we got to go back and pick up a piece where they're talking to Marty, and he's got a swamp behind him. And so they're like, okay, we got to go find a swamp, you know, to fill that in. And but they want to pick the same time of day, the same kind of cloud cover. Marty has to wear the same stuff. You know, the continuity is key, you know, because people see that and they go, oh, geez, you know, it's like there's snow on the trees in the background all of a sudden. How'd that happen? You know,
boy, that must take a lot of time. I mean, what is the time commitment to do this?
You know, just for shooting in the field, we did May 2nd to August 2nd this last summer in 2014, and it was full on. I mean, we have they give everybody a week break in the middle of the summer, so everybody can go back home. They got camera guys and shooters and producers and all those folks, and then they put us up over on a Fog Neck Island this year on a nice little spot out there, and we're able to fish and stuff. So it's continuous for pretty much a month and a week.
Wow.
Nonstop.
So do you get pretty well paid for that? I mean, I assume that it's hard to do other work when you're like being taken out of a picture from May to August.
Well, yeah, you know, me being an engineer, you know, your job is kind of dependent on projects that last quite a long time. There's a big lead up and you got to propose and do all it. So yeah, it takes a huge hit for me anyways to go out and do this. And season one, it was like, you know, new experience. Yeah, heck yeah, I'll go do it. And the pay wasn't great because it was almost like a pilot. They didn't know if it was going to work or not. And then, you know, the pay has gotten pretty good. So it's almost, you know, It's definitely a job, you know. I consider it a job now, so.
So you're not taking, as an engineer, you're not taking a loss by doing this. So that tells us something. That, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it pays the bills.
Uh-huh. Here's another email. This one for Emily. Craig Medred, who also writes for ADN, has been very critical of Alaska reality TV shows, like among other things, right? Like, mm-hmm. What hasn't Craig been critical of? He seems particularly agitated by the fact that many shows seem fake and or staged. How do you respond to that? Does it matter? Do you think that we can or should still enjoy reality shows if they aren't really technically real? I get the impression that you enjoy them sometimes more when they're not real.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think it comes back to what I said earlier, that, you know, as long as you realize what is going on and you are able to read it, then I think it's totally fine. And, you know, they serve an entertaining purpose. And yep. I think, you know, I've actually proposed to my editor at the ADN. I was like, I think that Craig and I should actually have a debate about reality TV and its merits.
Sure, so Wayne, here I am. Wayne and Wanda reality TV.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting just to hear, you know, his perspective. And he definitely has been really critical. And I think I've been pretty critical as well. But I think I still find joy from these shows. And that's probably the biggest difference.
I'm just imagining what the debate would be like, you know, if Craig gets mad and you're just laughing, you're probably going to win the debate.
you should film our responses when we read the articles. I haven't read Craig's articles lately. Is he still not a fan of the show?
I don't think so. I don't think he's written about season 3. He definitely wrote about season 2, though.
Yeah, Craig, if you're listening, call in.
Come
We'd
on,
like
Craig.
To hear from you.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, he's been on the show, on my outdoor show not that long ago. Craig, the number here is 550-8433, or anybody else who wants to comment. I mean, there's this ironic aspect of it, too, when you're watching and you're just really making fun of it because it's silly. Mm-hmm. And I imagine for some of these shows that you've talked about that are just off the wall, that's really what it's all about. It's just mm-hmm. like it's just a laugh.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was this show called Alaskan Women Looking for Love, which is just a great title. You know, there's no way you can see a show like that and have it not be awesome. And so they took, I think it was 6 women that were from quote unquote Kodiak, you know, and as they were like setting the stage, they were showing shots of like a woman filling up a water barrel at that spout on Turnagain Arm that comes out of the mountain there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, as an Alaskan, you're like, okay, that is Turnagain Arm, not Kodiak.
Yeah.
And I think they also filmed like an opening scene in Humpies too. Uh-huh. And so, you know, living here, you know exactly what they're trying to do.
Right.
But that show, I think, was a good one that was super silly. And, you know, just based on the title, you can't take it seriously and mm-hmm. really be mad about it because it's on TLC. And it's, you know, these 6 women flying from Kodiak to Alaska to, like, meet the man of their dreams and then fly them back to be their husbands, you know?
Back it's kind to of, this island where there's
exactly,
no man.
Exactly, yeah. And, I actually really enjoyed watching that show, but it was again one of those situations where you would watch it with friends and just kind of giggle at it more than you would be like, this is a very serious show that is going to inform my opinions on the world, you know?
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I think you need both of those. So,
well, I just these dating shows are so kind of strange and horrifying at the same, you know, you just sort of want to turn away because they could be so embarrassing. And I think when I'm watching them, not that I've like watched a ton of them, but that if you were on the show, you would either want to have a huge amount of distance from it and just be pretending, or you would have absolutely no sense of shame, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like the invasion of privacy is like complete.
Yeah. I mean, I think 90% of people that are on reality TV probably have a very, very little shame.
Right.
You know, I think that's one of the prerequisites uh-huh. before they would cast you on a show.
Is you got to be out there.
Yeah.
So, Tyler, yeah, I mean, are you a pretty, you sound like you're a pretty outgoing person to start with. Do you ever feel anything happen on the show that you felt embarrassed or you like don't want to go there or were you?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it, but, you know, Marty, of course, Rainey, he's this huge personality. I mean, he's like a cartoon character almost, you know, cowboy hat, mustache. I just let him be the character, and then I go out and make sure things work, you know. So I'm kind of the common sense guy of the operation, but, you know, I wouldn't say I'm the most flamboyant, boisterous person at the party type guy, but I just have a really good time out there, and I think it comes through on camera, you know. Hopefully it does. You know, we just enjoy, you know, working as a team and being out in the woods together, and I don't act any differently on TV than I would in normal life, and I try to do that all the time because it just looks stupid, you know, if you try to be somebody you're not on TV, you know. And you see that occasionally, you know. It's funny what happens when the camera's pointed at people. They're almost like their voice changes. Some, you know, they have a TV voice and a real voice, and, you know, and I don't know. I think it comes from a camera if you're not authentic. Hopefully it does, anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would think that would be a real temptation to sort of, like, play it up
And they never asked me to, you know. They never, you know, production, they're always like, hey, man, you're doing great. Just be yourself. And I just do that. And I don't really, you know, I just, yeah, it's on me.
All right. Cool. So it's Hometown Alaska. We're going to take a very quick break. I want to hear from some more listeners. We got a couple of emails, but we haven't had any calls. It may just be that NPR listeners just don't even have TVs. Like, they don't even know what we're talking about, right? You know, or they're watching C-SPAN. They're watching debates on, you know.
I think my favorite comment I've ever received on an article was somebody that just wrote, idiots watching idiots. And I was like, that basically captures it all.
Yeah. So what does that make us talking about it? So we're going to be back, but I'll give out the phone numbers. If you do want to call in with Emily Fehrenbacher, a columnist, and Tyler Johnson from Ultimate Survival Alaska, when Hometown Alaska continues.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
We're back. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. We're talking about reality TV in Alaska, which it sometimes is reality and sometimes is maybe not so much reality, but it's certainly a fun topic. And trying not to get too serious about it because really it doesn't matter that much. But it is a huge phenomenon. And I still not sure I totally get why it's happened the way it has, but we'd like to get you on the show. If you have thoughts about reality TV, maybe you hate it, or maybe you have some favorite shows or some funny stuff that you've seen, or questions for our guest who is a actual TV star. Phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. Statewide, it's 888-353-5752, and the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. With me are Emily Fehrenbacher, who writes about reality TV for ADN, and Tyler Johnson from Ultimate Survival Alaska. Emily, do you have a theory about why there's so many of these shows? Do you think it's all about the tax break? Wasn't really a tax break. It was actually kind of a tax gift that the legislature gave to TV producers.
I think that definitely played a part in it. But I think it really started with The Deadliest Catch. And I think that was such a phenomenon, and it still is. I mean, it's probably in its 10th or 11th season at this point. And people love that show. I actually sent out a survey to a bunch of friends and family in the lower 48, and by far that is the number one show that those people were watching. So I think it started there, and then I think, you know, the tax breaks or tax credits had something to do with it. But I think there is still just this kind of image of Alaska that is very unique and foreign, and I think, you know, people are still interested in this kind of final or last frontier kind of lifestyle up here. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is really why there are so many of these shows. You know, you see everything from, you know, those dangerous job shows to, you know, the silly shows like Alaskan Women Looking for Love that I just mentioned, to these like home buying shows. There's actually two of them called Living Alaska.
So somebody bought the cabin right down from me on a TV show.
Yeah. Or somebody bought a cabin downtown Talkeetna for $100,000.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, we should all be buying property in downtown Talkeetna if that's how much it costs.
Yeah,
so,
really.
And it was owned by the Roadhouse and is like a historic site. Uh-huh. So, you know, and I think that's just shows how pervasive it is that there are two different shows on two different networks about buying property in Alaska.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I kind of wonder if also Alaska is so far away that it's you can kind of say what you want to about it and mm-hmm. people don't really know. I mean, if you did one about like Manhattan, then enough people would know what Manhattan's really like. You couldn't really, mm-hmm. you know, take any liberties.
Yep. Yeah, I think the only other place that I can think of, you know, that probably has as many shows is, you know, Louisiana and kind of like the the swamp people, you know, that I think that's kind of a thing, too, right now. Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. Eddie's on the line calling us. Eddie, did you have a question or comment? Hello, Eddie.
Wild West Alaska show. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're filming down here at the Bubbly Mermaid downtown, and it was just amazing sitting there watching it from the background rather than trying to be in the spotlight, how many times they had to come in the door to get it natural. Oh, yeah, let's do it again. And then, all of a sudden, right? It was just fun to watch, I guess. I guess what America wants.
Did you happen to just happen to be there and see it, or were you there specifically for that?
No, I work here, so I was watching from the back.
Okay, and that's the place where you get the champagne and oysters down on D Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yum. Yeah. I love that place. Emily, have you watched that show, Wild West Alaska?
Yeah, I have. Yep, that show's pretty unique. I think that show definitely comes off, and I don't know that this is true, but my perception watching at home is that show is actually scripted, and I think there's a whole genre called scripted reality, which just seems contradictory to me.
Oxymoron, yeah.
Yeah, and I have heard that that show specifically will send out, you know, casting announcements and try to get people to come into this gun store and interact with these people that are, I'm sure, real people, and I would love for one of them to call in if they're listening, mm-hmm. but I think that they are set up in these very specific situations and sometimes coached what to say. At least that's what it seems like to somebody sitting on their couch watching it.
Interesting. Okay, and here's a call from Nina. Nina, do you have a comment to make or a question?
Yeah, I'm right here. You know, the interesting thing to me, I actually don't get television, but I do listen to 91.1 regularly. And I'm a woman that is, I'm a master mariner in Alaska, and I've been sailing up here for, I'll give away my age, since the early 80s.
Okay.
So I think that the reality TV shows just show men. And if you want to portray Alaska, there's so many women behind the men or on their own that truly need to be addressed. It would be that much more interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Emily? What's the male-female ratio on these shows?
I think it definitely, there are probably many more men on Alaska reality TV shows than there are on women, than there are about women. And I think the shows about women specifically are kind of those sillier shows where,
how
you know,
are you going to get a husband? Right?
Exactly. And so I totally agree with you, Nina. Someone should make a show about you.
So rocks. There's so many great women out here. Like, We take boats up and down the Inside Passage. We do across the Gulf of Alaska. You know, we develop fishing industries, just private little fishing industries. And if there were to be, to my mind, something that would be portrayed to an audience for the lower 48, the strength of the women that are in Alaska.
Yeah, there's your pitch. You just made your pitch. Hopefully somebody from Hollywood's listening. They'll contact you. Now, Keith has some comments. Keith?
Yeah, I've been listening. I personally threw my television in the dumpster about 25 years ago. Reality television had not started at that time. But if I had waited a few more years, reality TV would have been the final straw. I get most of my, I primarily listen to 91.1. I hear about stuff like Slednecks and Deadliest Catch and Ice Road Truckers, and all I can do is shake my head, like you said at the beginning of the program. You know, this stuff makes us look like idiots up here. And why I hope nobody in Hollywood was listening to your last caller. They don't need any more. I agree that the shows don't feature enough real women doing, you know, real things instead of silly crap. However, don't give them any more ideas. Tell them to stay in Hollywood, please.
All right, let's get our panel, Emily and also Tyler, to respond to the comment that these shows make us look like idiots. And I wonder if they really do change people's impression of Alaskans. What do you think? I mean, Emily?
I think, you know, to some extent, yes, they do. And I think, you know, the shows like Slednecks are a little more damaging than mm-hmm. shows like Ultimate Survival Alaska or, you know, some of the other, Last Frontier.
If people think that we're all like tough studs who could do anything in the outdoors, that doesn't bother me too much.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I just don't want them to think we're all Sarah Palin's or Sarah Palin's kids.
Yes. They have also had a lot of reality shows.
Yeah, so that mm-hmm. one family's had a lot of shows about mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, Tyler, I'd be interested to hear your response.
About that?
Yeah. You know, I haven't seen Slednecks. I've heard about it, and yeah, it sounds pretty crazy, and I don't watch them. I just don't because I think they're stupid. You know, and of course, I'm on a reality TV show, so I can't really call the kettle black, but... I think our show shows a different side of Alaska. You know, it's more about the scenery, and Alaska is kind of the star of the show versus the people getting drunk and blowing stuff up. You know, I think that's pretty cool. Whether you like reality TV or not, you know, I think we try to put Alaska in a place.
Yeah, so Tyler's show is a bit more on the reality side than some of these other ones. And they are doing some cool outdoor stuff. So thanks, Keith. That was a good comment. We're going to move on now to Lisa, who's got a question or comment. Lisa?
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Good. Yeah, I've been listening. It's an interesting show. I've had an opportunity to work on a couple of the shows and have some close friends who do a lot of work on them. And I won't say who or where, but one time they were filming that Wild West show right next door to me. And it was just so funny. It wasn't even the girl's house, and it was just hilarious watching them make up this whole dating scenario thing with the old guy who runs the shop. But that was funny. But on a personal experience, I actually got to work after the dredge show. It was, you know, the Bering Sea Gold guys, where they dredge the gold out there. I mean, and it's real gold. It was quite interesting. I had to pick them up at the airport, and they were wondering, oh, do we pay you? What do we do? Now, these are the guys that actually do the dredging. I'm like, no, that's okay. And I said, oh, you know, a girl can always use a couple extra gold nuggets in her pocket, and they actually gave me a huge gold nugget tip. So it's not all bad working on these shows, and... I do know in the industry it has brought a lot of film work up here.
Yep.
So even though I make these silly stuff sometimes, I think it's a really viable economic booster.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, that's my experience. So it does reach out further on because when I was doing that show, my uncle was like, oh, say hi to Emily. I'm like, who's Emily?
Oh, really?
Like, oh, she's an opera singer who digs for gold. And, you know, he was very interested, and I was interested to see this woman who was digging for gold in the Bering Sea also has a talent as an opera singer. Huh. So there's such a wide range of talent out there, and you guys running that trip across the wilderness there, Tyler, with Marty, keep on keeping on as long as you can.
All right, Lisa, we got a lot more people who want to talk, so I'm going to go ahead and thank you for being on. Keep
thank
going.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Sounds like you've got a fan there, Tyler. So, now here's Jackie. Jackie, did you have a comment? Jackie, are you still there? All right. I don't think Jackie's there any longer. So let's go to Kai. On line 3, and Evan, can you take me to line 3, please? There we go. Kai, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So what was your, do you have a question or a comment?
Well, yeah, I'm just curious. I'm a local physician in Anchorage, and maybe a year, a little less ago, I got a phone call from a producer that was hinting very sort of cryptically about a reality TV show, and he wanted to hire providers to go draw blood and possibly do some medical testing on possible contestants. And they were paying pretty good money, and he was very not forthcoming with any details and all, and talked about a confidentiality agreement and all, and fine, but then I never heard from him again. It brought up, how are the contestants sort of screened? Might people drop dead of a heart attack, or how do they sort of look at these things, you know, and screen contestants medically? I'm curious.
I've wondered about that too, how they do sort of really scary, dangerous things with their insurance companies and such. Tyler, how did they have any kind of medical screening for you when you were chosen for your show?
No, not at all. I showed up at the Millennium Hotel and had breakfast, and that was my screening.
Wow.
you know, at least for me, they just said, hey, we already seen what you can do. We talked to people. It's fine. We know you can do it. The insurance packet is about an inch thick that we signed. So, yeah, I'm sure it's well covered. But yeah, as far as, like, medical testing, nothing. You know, they're like, hey, go have fun. See you later, you know.
So if anything, if you get hurt doing something, are you basically just on your own, or is there a...
No, I think, you know, we're covered. You know, it's like a job almost. You know, as long as we're filming, we're covered by their insurance coverage, which is, I think it's pretty extensive and very complicated, and, you know, it has all these, you know, add-ons and stuff for all the dangerous stuff we're doing. And but as soon as we're done filming, then we're off. You know, boom, we're on our own again.
Huh, interesting. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolfworth. Tyler Johnson is one of the stars of Ultimate Survival Alaska, and Emily Fehrenbacher is in the studio. She writes a column about reality TV and the ADN. And now I'd like to go to Linda. Did you have something to say, Linda?
Yeah, hi. First of all, I'd like to say how much I appreciate Emily's column, because I don't actually have to see any of the shows to enjoy them.
I know. I feel the same way. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's really awesome. And I started listening to the program late, so I don't know if you've already talked about Alaska State Troopers.
No?
Mm-mm.
Well, that's one of my favorite shows. And from a parent's perspective, one time we saw an episode when the troopers were down in Seward out by Exit Glacier over the 4th of July, and lo and behold, they were chasing a suspect right through my son's illegal campsite.
Wow.
And so we were like, what? It was hilarious. It was so funny to see the boys. They were, I think, 18 at the time. And they made the TV. They also got in big trouble, but it was gold. It was just pure gold.
Oh,
and
that's
I really
great.
Appreciate it.
Emily, have you seen a lot of people you know in the background of these shows, or
surprisingly, no? Yeah, actually, an old roommate was in the background of one of the shows, but that's about it. Uh-huh. I have not seen a ton of people. It's actually one of the funny things is seeing people who are in these shows around town, you know, because mm-hmm. most of the people I think live in Anchorage. And so frequently, you know, you see people that have been on these shows around town, and I haven't watched, you know, Alaska State Troopers, I think, is one of those shows. I definitely think it's well done and pretty interesting. And so it's one of those shows that when there's nothing else on, I'll frequently put that one on. So,
uh-huh. mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. As I said, the cabin next to mine was sold, and I didn't even know that there was such a thing as a TV show about selling real estate, which to me is not something I really want to do in real life, much less watch it. And then I found out there are two shows about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's going on? World has gone crazy. Mark, did you have a comment about The Amazing Race? Or Mark, were you with us?
That was one of the first of the national radio or reality shows, excuse me. And I was working at the airport as a community relations manager back in the in 2001. This was pre-9/11. And we got this call at the airport manager. He hands it to me and says, deal with these people. And it was the first time they had gone around the world. And their one, I had no idea what reality TV was. And I got to meet the guy who's the host and all that. And we went to the end of the runway and at the end in a safe zone and had planes come over our head. And they were just awed and awed by that. And there wasn't much snow that year like this year. And they went to a snow bank and they pretended, you know, he stood on the snowbank or behind the snowbank, and because there was snow piled up on the side, and kind of pretended he was deep in Alaska in the winter. So it was fake weather. But then, you know, there are these teams of people, and they're racing through, getting off the airplanes and racing through the terminal. Then the next year they came back. It was post 9/11, and when they called again, I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Someone running through the airport this time will get tackled and arrested. So, you know, you have to give them specific instructions as during, you know, in that world of what they can do. So that was fascinating to me to take people out. We had people, they had people that had to film the plane arriving in and inside the terminal. So we escorted them into the building and out real quick and so forth. So that was pretty fun. That was my one experience until this last year. I have a cabin off the Flagstaff, a train north to Talkeetna. It's a roadless wilderness area. Uh-huh. And they've been filming Destination America Railroad Alaska. And so this is the third year they're doing filming again. And they, for the first year, they set up these kind of trumped up things that would happen to the railroad workers. You know, we have to get this train off the main line before the express comes through, kind of stuff, which is just their normal job. But, you know, they made it big and, you know, fancy sounding and so forth. But then they keyed in on one colorful character, and that's one of the gentlemen who lives up there, Mr. James. And he had blown off his hand, and so he's a hook on it now, you know, in an accident. And so he's very colorful, and so this is his third year he's filming again, and now it's centered on him and his lifestyle up there. So my question is, I've never asked him, but I just saw him this last weekend on the train. Do they get paid something for this? Is there just the notoriety of selling T-shirts later, you know, like the crab guys in the Bering Straits, you know, each with their own boat and such?
Seems like there's enough.
How does that work?
Yeah. Emily, do you know, are these folks being paid? I would think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I actually have some friends who were on Buying Alaska, which is one of those realtor shows. And even they, I think, got like a $500 or, you know, some gift cards. Mm-hmm. So even for those shows where they're only in one episode, they get some kind of compensation.
They probably have to do that in order to get a good contract with them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tyler has already mentioned that he's being paid decently for being on the third episode.
We get paid by the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, episode you appear, you get a lump sum,
and it's work. I mean, you're spending a lot of time on this. It's not like just a lark for you. I mean, three years.
Oh, yeah. It is, and you know, there's a bunch of add-ons too. You know, I think I'm the only guy on the show that hasn't hired a manager or an attorney yet. And you know, they negotiate all the terms. Like, they own your face for a year after the show stops airing. Like, you can't appear on a commercial. You can't appear on another show. You know, they own your likeness, I guess, you know, all this stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not a TV guy, so I just, you know, I just sign it. I'm just worried about that bottom dollar amount.
Right. All right. We got a lot more calls and not much time, so I'm going to keep going, Mark. But thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Larry's on with a comment about the real estate. Larry?
Yeah. Hi, Charles. I did have an experience with Buying Alaska. I couldn't remember the name of it until your co-host mentioned that. We were selling our cabin. Actually, it's a full house, but everyone calls them a cabin out there in Big Lake on Flat Lake. And they somehow, I had it on social media, but so these guys in New York called me up and asked me if I wanted to be on Buying Alaska. And so I said, well, what is it? I haven't had a television since 1964 and haven't seen these things. I've heard of ice road truckers because we lived on an ice road half the year out there. But that's the extent of my knowledge about that kind of thing. And they sent me a video, and I watched it, and it was selling a cabin out in the woods, and these people going to the cabin were climbing through these snow drifts, just making it look really difficult. Which was pretty funny. So I told them, well, we live about a mile from, we don't have road access, and we live a mile from the landing. And they said that sounded pretty cool, and they could do that. And I thought, oh, this is really great. This will make me feel better that I'm trying to do something to sell the cabin. And then later I told them, well, actually, if you start at the other end of the lake, it's a semi-mile boat ride to get to the cabin. They said, oh, they can really build that up. And I said, well, do I show the house? He said, oh, no, they hire actors to show the house, or local people. And they'll bring them in, and actually they they'll compare a couple different houses, and they'll have them on the same show. And then at the end of the show, it's like buying your Alaska dream. They make the decision and buy the house, but they don't actually buy it.
Oh, they don't?
That was a riot. That was just
so the whole thing is a put on.
The whole thing's a put on. But I thought, well, it didn't. You know, as long as they don't slam us or make it look really bad, I don't mind if they make it look like trouble getting in there, because it is trouble getting in there. You just get used to it. You know, we've been there full time for 10 years. But I really liked the opportunity of being able to show it to a wider audience, because there must be a lot of people watching these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize that they didn't actually just go through the. They don't really want to have somebody wants to buy a cabin. The whole thing is just pretend.
It's a show. It's amazing.
That is so funny. All right. Well, thanks, Larry. That was a good one. I learned something from that. And now I'd like to go to Diana, who has a question or a comment. Diana, are you still there? She was waiting a long time. She might have given up. So maybe we'll. Are you still there, Diana? All right, so we're going to let's move on to John, who had, a comment about the railroad show. John, are you with us?
Yes. Yeah, I was just going to mention my wife and I moved up here about a year and a half ago. I grew up in upstate New York in a rural area with just little towns with a couple hundred people, a lot of snow in the winter in the Adirondack Mountains, and went home last summer. I don't tend to watch reality shows, and we don't have cable, but it just made me laugh. I pulled in, got to my mom's place, turned on the TV, got on the cable, and there was that Alaska Railroad show.
You can't get away from it, yeah.
And it kind of confirmed what I thought about these shows. The person they picked the show was the fellow that needed to be, his mom needed to drop off some supplies going north out of Anchorage. He was living along the railroad line, and the things he had to do to get ready for was to patch up the holes he'd shot in the screen when he was shooting out through the window without opening the screens in the summer. And he had to put a handle on the outhouse door, which, of course, he used part of a moose antler to do.
Of course.
And when she showed up, his mom, she was not at all dressed to be out in the snow. I don't know what city she just came out of, but maybe she never left Anchorage or New York City. But it was pretty funny, but it just kind of, You pick a character, and if they aren't a little odd, you present them in an odd way for the entertainment, like some of your guests are talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, John. And we're just about out of time, so I have to leave your comment at that. But I guess I come out of this thinking there's nothing really wrong with it, right? I mean, it's that Tyler's doing some cool stuff and getting paid for it, and we had somebody who worked on one of these shows, and Emily, we're enjoying watching it. Why be so heavy about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And and maybe it's I don't know if it'll go away now that the tax credits are going away, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think a lot of these shows are here to stay for a while at least, and we're actually getting up to the filming season for most of them, so
We'll see what happens next year. Hey, thanks a lot, Tyler. Tyler Johnson, Ultimate Survival Alaska, thanks for being with us, and good luck. Are you going to do another season?
I don't know. Until they call me, I'm just going to do my normal thing.
All right. And Emily Fehrenbacher, thanks for the column. You have a lot of fans out there.
Thank you.
Next week on Hometown Alaska, your host will be Kathleen McCoy, and she will be talking with three longtime Anchorage residents as they reminisce about the Black experience in early Anchorage. Pat Yak is the Chief Content Officer for Alaska Public Media. Grace Bojean is our production assistant. Evan Erickson is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today. On Hometown Alaska, I'm Charles Wolforth.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.